Welcome, listeners.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Guess what time of year it is now?
Everyone's favorite time of the year.
That's
April
true.
Fools.
The one that universally has good reactions.
Yes.
Nothing ever bad happens. Everyone is very normal about all of their things that they do during the month, etc. Totally, totally normal.
Indeed. So, I would like to welcome everybody to this year's April Fool's Day adventure entitled The Mystery at Balder Skate.
Okay.
Great.
Go on.
Great.
An attuned tune.
Boo.
How many colons are going to be in this? Because that was a long dramatic pause before you're like, oh, there's more.
I can't wait to see this episode title like written down on the Spotify feed.
Yes, indeed.
You won't see it because it'll way overflow.
Right?
It'll like corrupt the
whole
file.
There's too many colons for it to register properly.
Exactly.
Why would you do this to us?
That was good, though.
Well, you know, because I can.
Yeah. The one
and
time of year
where
there are no literal.
Yeah, there are no rules. The only rule is there are no rules.
We only restrict Steve to like 3 puns normally a night, and now it's gone.
Yeah, that restriction is gone. So we are going to kick off right here with kind of the character introductions. Everybody's going to tell you what kind of tune and vibe they are going to be going with for their character. I am going to start with my left.
Hello, I am Nathan. I today have the distinct pleasure of playing Hazelnut Honeybear.
Hell yeah.
Hazelnut, Hazy Hazel, he accepts all of these, and as well as any pronouns. In fact, Hazel's pretty chill. They are a bear, as their name would suggest. They wear overalls and have a little fun little neckerchief slash, kind of like, what are they called?
Ascots?
Bandana?
Yeah, it's more bandana than ascot. That's why I wanted to clarify. He's more country bear than like fancy Freddy from Scooby-Doo bear.
Okay.
But unfortunately, Hazelnut Honeybear is consistently in a state where he has just woken up from his winter hibernation. So all of his clothes do not fit him. He is very skinny, despite being very large and imposing. And all of his fur is all matted and bedheady all across his thing. I highly recommend anyone Google various photos and GIFs of bears emerging from their hibernation every year and how truly scrungly they look. And that is Hazelnut's whole deal. But they are, God, they are hungry. To my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I had one idea for my character, and then was like, no, this is not the vibe, and have done a 180. And now I will be playing Captain, the capybara, who is really into yacht rock.
As we all should be.
He is here for the vibes and the tunes. And I am furiously writing down as many lyrics as I can find of yacht rock songs to really make this character come to life.
One of my favorite things about this is because it's all tunes, you can like imagine there's like a shared cinematic universe, right? Where it's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's all these cartoons dating back like decades. And so imagining what era of the world Captain the Capybara, who loves yacht rock, like where was America when Captain the Capybara was created and realized?
Mm-hmm.
I will enjoy exploring that backstory as we play.
It'll be great. And to my left.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan. And tonight, I will be playing Hoots Marlowe, Private Eye. And Hoots is a owl wearing a trilby and long trench coat. And he is standing brooding over in a corner, smoking a cigarette, jotting down notes in his little notebook.
I do have a question.
Yes.
Is Hoots black and white or color?
Yes, Hoots is actually in black and white.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, right, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm David. And tonight, I am playing the crow, Talon McCaw, who is ever planning his next heist and putting together his next crew.
So, without further ado, let's kick it off with our introductory song. How's everybody feel about that?
Great.
I love it.
I want to find out about Baldur's Skate.
I have complicated feelings about it, but I'm sure once it gets going, the music will sweep me away.
Maestro, hit it.
Cartoon hack, getting squished by rocks and then just popping back. Do you ever feel like you're drawn too thin, like you're just a draft not fully inked in? Do you ever feel that physics don't apply, walk off of a cliff somehow still in the sky? Do you know that there's a name for you, 'cause there's a draw to you, you just gotta embrace chaos and let it rock. Your own essence, problems hit by a truck. 'Cause baby, you're a drawn cartoon. Go ahead and act buffoon. Make them go ow, ow, ow. You're gonna leave them all in ha, ha, ha. 'Cause baby, you're a drawn. Of you, and now it's time to let it through. 'Cause baby, you're a Tron cartoon. Go ahead and act buffoon. Make them go ow, ow, ow. You're gonna leave them all in ha, ha, ha. Ha,
ha, ha, ha, ha. That one got me.
Yeah.
I was trying to be so quiet. But I don't know if it's better to be quiet or not, but I could not.
I want to hear Steve's notes at the end of this song.
Yeah.
I was imagining exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the artistic direction for this one? Yeah.
Well, before that, please, we gotta give cred to the to the artistry.
Oh yes.
You partnered with before we get too deep.
Yes, so that was Julie and Charlie, the same folks that we have partnered with for the last several years to do these songs, and we will put their link in the show notes and have it available for you to take a look at the different stuff that they do.
Thanks, Julie.
Thanks, Charlie. I'm sorry for what Steve has already done and will do to you over however many more songs there are to come.
So, you have all received an invitation to the grand partial opening of the Baldur's Skate skate park and roller rink. This is a big, big party, and the entire town was invited.
Not exclusive.
Partially. Everybody was invited to the partial grand opening, but then there was a smaller subset that is allowed to actually go in and be the first people to see the inside.
Okay. So the town's invited to the ribbon cutting.
Got it.
This was put together by a couple of people. The first is generally referred to as Auntie Xantha. And Auntie Xantha is a very, very short woman, very, very round woman. And the thing that makes her notable is she has a pet bumblebee that is just this absolute chonker, wide-eyed bumblebee. And so every time she talks and she's gesturing, there is a very quiet kind of that kind of permeates the area around her.
Is anyone else already having a hard time focusing because you're trying to figure out what
yes,
the pun is?
Yes, 100%.
Okay, so like, I just wanted to...
What is the pun? I gotta know. Uh-huh. I gotta know.
I'm sure we will find out or kick ourselves later, but I just wanted to check in.
Her partner is a man named Edmund. Tall, lanky, basically the exact opposite of how Auntie Xantha looks. He's in a black suit, black tie, and he looks very businesslike. And as you are standing there for this ribbon-cutting ceremony, he looks like he is a complete and utter wreck. He's sweating, he's looking around nervously, he kind of like keeps looking back towards the roller rink as if he's expecting something to go wrong, and then as nothing seems to be going wrong, he's getting more and more nervous. And so Auntie Xantha is standing up there with the ribbon in front of her as she's saying,
"Welcome, everybody, to the grand partial opening of the Baldur's Gate Roller Rink. Mr. Fitzgerald, do you have anything else you would like to add?"
And Edmund is there, and he's, again, looks a complete wreck, and just, he's kind of like,
I'm sorry.
I think we have two people who got it and two people who haven't got it.
I only got one part of it, but I'm so excited for what's about to happen. I haven't even heard it.
Well, I think it's been a successful April Fool's episode.
Yes, all right.
Steve,
wow,
good
we're,
job.
Yeah. We're what, like 5 minutes in? Yeah. All right.
Good job, wow.
Jonathan won't know what anything about
this. Nope. Absolutely not. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's puns in here. Yeah. I'll bet, yeah.
Seems like probably there's some references. So it's hard to say.
And so Edmund is kind of just shaking his head. And he's like, no. And so Auntie Xantha picks up these comically large scissors and cuts the ribbon and says, "I now declare the Baldur's Gate skate rink open." And there's some cheering from the various teams. And everybody kind of pours inside. One thing I will say is, as we do every time, there is a kind of a reward for guessing the puns. In this particular case, for Toon, everybody has an item that is called a gizmo. What a gizmo is, it can be anything that the player would like it to be for that particular scene. However, typically in the normal game, you would only get one use of this per scene. Once you change it into something, it is that thing for the rest of the scene. If you guess the puns, you get an additional use of your gizmo for that scene. And you can accumulate as many of those as you would like. You can also share them if you want. If somebody needs to have an item and they've already used their gizmo, you can gift them your use of your gizmo to help them out.
Yeah, Sophie's gonna be racking these up. Like,
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, I need. Do you have, what's the charity? Can I have some of these extra uses? Yeah.
So as the waiting town is running into Baldur's Gate, Edmund Fitzgerald sees a very strange sight. Actually, it is a large dark rain cloud that appears to be approaching him, just pouring rain down upon this black and white. Decked out.
The storms of November have come early.
Again, he's just puffing on his cigarette, just slowly approaching Edmund. And as he gets closer and closer, he just breathes out one final. You seem stressed.
Well, it's the grand opening. It's everything can go wrong. Anything can go wrong.
A security system failure?
Yes.
As a particularly, I would say, small crow kind of flits up to Edmund's shoulder. And of particular note is this crow has a devious glint in his eye and a large conical hat that he wears. There's a little star on top. He kind of like perches on the shoulder and says, "Or perhaps an electrical outage? Perhaps a weak wall on the east side that nobody has expected.
You see Edmund, he was sweating and nervous before, and now he's just like even more sweat. And he says, the water was imported from Lake Kichigumi. It's, oh boy. I need to go. And he just spins around, takes off to the point where it's like, bah! And there's just the outline of where Edmund was in smoke. And then you kind of have to flap a little bit to stay aloft.
And Talon McCaw, the crow, is kind of like gently landing himself down and then lands next to this owl.
Talon McCaw. I didn't think you'd have the nerve to show your face around here after what happened last time.
Are you kidding me? It's Baldur Skate, the best new skate park in the town. Imagine the disco balls that will be in there, the shiny objects. How could I stay away?
Well, keep yourself out of trouble.
Same to you, Hoots. I'll see you in there, but you won't see me.
Before either of them can part, the crowd sees a capybara with a flower hat stroll in between these two and just look between them and say, "How long has this been going on?"
Too long, if you ask me.
See, Hoot and I have been rivals of a sort. I'd say we're neck and neck in solves and steals. What is it? 43-43?
One of you's got to pull out a giant chalkboard that has it with tally marks behind you.
Yep.
And what are you supposed to be?
Captain's the name. And you'll find me sailing into the skate rink. And he literally just like floats away.
So you're like a face. You know, do you know a demos man? Do you know a getaway driver?
Are you yelling this?
Yeah. Wait, no, I know. Come back. You have skills that I need.
Literally, as Talon says that, Captain is still like floating, moonwalking.
Yeah.
Like he's sailing away. And then he just yells back to Talon, "I can ride like the wind, ride like the wind." Bada, bada.
God, I love this.
Yeah. It turns out I created the perfect kid for this
turns out
adventure.
Sophie friggin' loves yacht rock.
Yeah, right. Love yacht rock.
As you enter the skate rink, you see it kind of out in front of you, and much like the TARDIS, this place is bigger somehow on the inside. And there's a huge... you see a huge roller skating rink portion, and then you see stairs down, and there's an arrow that basically says ice skating and the stairs leading downwards. The crowd seems to be funneling downstairs to the ice skating rink portion of it. And as they get down there, you see a little stage set up, and Auntie Xantha is standing there. You don't see Edmund anywhere, but you do see three other people standing with her next to her that somehow make her look tall. And she says, "Our designers of the unwinnable skate rink are Kobe," and she points to one of them, "Yashi," "and Maru."
I get that one.
Okay. Yeah. Just a real clash of genres here.
Yeah,
I see.
"These three have designed our skate rink, and as our christening of the skate rink, we shall be having a race. There will, of course, be prizes. They will include bragging rights, and anybody that wishes to join may strap on a pair of ice skates and join us at the front."
Talon is definitely at the rental desk. He is fishing out for like some coins, and like he gets like a silver dollar. He has a bottle cap. He's got like a little wedding ring that is probably worth some amount of currency, and is trying to trade those in for a single skate.
A single skate?
That he can fit in.
Ah.
He is very small after all.
Yes, this is true. So the clerk up there kind of like pushes the bottle cap back, takes the ring and like bites it, says, "This'll do. Here's your skate, sir."
And there's like, Talon is like comically holding this large skate above his head with like his wings, and is like joyfully hopping off. It's like, "Yes, this will do nicely."
Immediately behind him, very slowly and ploddingly, comes Hazelnut Honeybear. Hazelnut, again, is very tall. Probably he's not fully outside of the screen and the frame, but pretty close to it. And he just kind of lumbers up very slowly. Cannot stress enough, his overalls are far too big. They are at least double, if not triple, the size of him. But he goes up to the same clerk and is like, "Hey, man, is it like a minimum for participation to like get through the food line or what?"
"There is a buffet afterwards, sir."
"After, though? Not now?"
The buffet will not be ready until after the skating race, sir."
"If I win, like, a race?"
"Oh, first prize does include an all-you-can-eat buffet of your choosing, sir."
"Okay,
I..." "As well as bragging rights."
"Buffet, that's interesting. Okay, do you have, like, bear skates? Is that a thing?"
"Let me see what we have in the back, sir."
And he kind of, like, shuffles off and then is gone for a second or two. And you see him coming back. He's actually dragging behind him these very large skates.
"This is the best we could do, sir."
Okay, cool. All right. Do you, like, sell snacks back there, or...?"
"I'm not supposed to do this, but here's a complimentary granola bar."
Immediately, it turns into the classic cartoon trope of crumbs going everywhere like a cookie monster. Snap cut back to still a sleepy bear being like, "All right, cool. Thanks, man. Thanks. I really appreciate it."
"Enjoy your skates, sir."
And you just... He, like, his eyes are mostly closed, and he just kind of, like, reaches over to, like, kind of pat him on the head. Yeah, yeah. All right.
I feel like during that, Talon has not fully made their way off of the counter yet, and so it's, like, having to frantically dodge to get out of the way of Hunt Hazel's claws. It's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, you look like muscle." "You want to join the heist?"
I'm sorry. I'm just like, heist? That just sounds like a lot of work, you know? What are we what's the like heist target?"
All right. I see you're not sold. How about you're not immediately entranced by the idea of stealing stuff. Tell you what, I'll meet you on the rink. I'll see you out there."
"Okay." Just kind of clumps off and then goes through the long process of trying to slip on these ice skates onto his big bear paws.
The captain will also be participating in the skate ring, but I'm sad I've used Ride Like the Wind already.
And actually already on the rink in his own custom pair of ice skates is Hoots Marlowe, just rain pouring down, his trench coat just dripping onto the ice, freezing around him. And as he looks at all the other participants, he just lets out another puff of smoke. It's like, it's gonna be a good day.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, Jonathan here with the mid-roll. If you're looking for the hottest frog memes around, join the Reckless Attack community on Discord. You can find a link to it in the show notes of our latest episodes or on our website, recklessattack.com. Want to support the show? Tell a friend or check out our Patreon at patreon.com/recklessattack, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback show as well as our new Reckless the Snack series, where we eat snacks, hang out, and just talk about whatever's on our mind. Thanks so much for listening to us, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the episode.
So as you line up at the start line, you can't help but notice some of the other toons that are participating in this race. Notably, there are three abominable snow people. This is Hubert, Humphrey, and Himalaya. There are also two bipedal, white, almost dragon-like creatures. You also know them. This is Artie and Winnie.
You said they were dragon-like creatures?
Dragon-like creatures, yes.
Okay.
In addition to them, there are some others that you don't know by name, but you see foxes, you see hens, and you see the foxes kind of eyeing the hens a little bit. You see dogs, you see coyotes. All in all, there's about 20 or 25 people lined up at this start line.
Do any of the other toons have their own? Did they bring their own ice skates?
You know what? Give me a some kind of smarts roll. Is there anything for perception on there?
There is like hide and spot hidden. There's also identify dangerous things.
So this would be a spot hidden.
Okay. So I'm going to roll 2d6, and I'm going to try to get under my skill level, which is 9. So I'm fairly good at this. I got a 4, so I succeed.
Excellent. Most of the people have the rental skates.
Okay.
You do see one of the abominable snow people does seem to have some custom skates, to the point where you're not quite sure, but are those like rockets on the side of the skates? It's a little weird, but it could. I mean, why would they have rockets, right?
That's ridiculous.
And Steve, I should probably also clarify one thing. So one of the items in this game is called a gizmo, which essentially is just like any item that you could want at the time that you need it. I should say that Hoots Marlowe's custom ice skates are the gizmo that I'm going to be using.
Gotcha.
For this. So in the moment, he knew that these ice skates were going to be important, so he's going to change his gizmo into these custom ice skates.
Excellent. So we're going to have our first little contest here for speed skating, and the winner may or may not win some fabulous prizes. As everybody lines up, Auntie Xantha pulls out of a little pocket she has an overly large revolver.
Nice.
She hoists it up into the air and she says, "On your mark, get set." And would you please play song number 2?
That was the perfect montage music.
Yeah.
Cartoonish ice skating, for sure.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of that one. Again, thank you, Julie and Charlie. And you all take off. How this is going to work is that everybody has a skill called Zip. Zip is essentially your speed. If there's anything under there that you think would be appropriate for kicking off your initial sprint on the ice skates, you can make an argument for that particular skill. Otherwise, it will just be your straight Zip score. And then again, 2d6 equal to or below that number.
I am going to use dodge because this is a mass start. So Captain is just gonna like slide side to side to avoid potential rocket skates and feathers and foxes.
Good idea.
Flying above.
Go ahead and give me that dodge roll.
I succeeded.
Oh, you did. Okay.
I would like to propose Talon is going to try and talk to Hoots. And he's like kind of talking him up like, oh, look at those guys over there. Look at those custom skates. Like, you think you can beat them? You know, trying to really distract him, get him off his game. While he's also going to try and tie a piece of string to the back of one of Hoots' skates.
Okay.
And hold on to that.
For a second, I thought you would be in Cahoots. Okay, so everybody go ahead and roll, except David, why don't you go ahead and give me whatever roll you would like to do to attach this string to the back of Hoots' skates.
Well, hold on there a second, because Hoots Marlowe was not born yesterday, all right?
Could have fooled me. Yeah.
And he knows that Talon is inching closer to him at the start line for a reason. So I would actually like to roll Resist Fast Talk. It's not a zip skill, but it's a smart skill. I'm going to try and resist all the chaos, but specifically what Talon has planned.
Because
Hoots.
Talon is trying to fast talk Hoots, which is a chutzpah skill.
Uh-huh. So neither of us are doing any zip skills. We're not participating in the event. Yeah. We're just trying to one-up
each
other.
Our own mental battle of wits.
At least initially.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and roll.
I succeed on resist fast talk.
I also succeed on fast talk.
Okay, so those two kind of cancel out. So right now, nobody has the upper hand. So you're basically kind of like, looks like you're just talking to each other right now at the moment.
So you guys are literally just at the starting line bickering and haven't started the race at all.
Correct.
I think at this point, I'm just doing a straight zip roll. There is no chicanery happening. Hazelnut is, unfortunately, a very sleepy bear and not up to any sort of schemes at this point. Boo, that is a big failure.
Okay.
I'm not a very zippy bear. I'm pretty tired.
All right, in typical cartoon fashion, Hazel, your feet start going. It's... But you're not going anywhere yet. You're just kind of like spinning on the ice. You do see one of the abominable snowmen people reach down with a little lighter next to their skates and fire shoots backwards out of their skates, and they just all of a sudden their feet go first, and then their head is just kind of there for a second with a worried look on their face, and then boom, they're just gone. The ice rink where they are going is melted behind them. So there is a stream of water that is two skates thick behind one of the abominable snow people as they are rocketed to the front of the group.
I don't think those are tournament legal.
As you see all these contestants start skating around the rink, the abominable snow person obviously takes the lead, and you see people falling into the water behind them, just sploosh, sploosh. As they come around towards the first turn, you do see one of the spectators pulls out of the back pocket what looks like a net.
I thought I was going to say a knife.
No, just a net, and kind of throws it, and three of the people just kind of like get caught in this net and tumble down, tumble to the icy surface, slide, and then bloop, bloop into the water that's behind the rocket skates of this abominable snow person.
And they float up as ice cubes and bob on the
skates. Absolutely they do. So for round two of the skate rink race, now that you've kind of kicked it off and you have, for the most part, your momentum going, is there anything you would like to do to help ensure that you are at the front of the group? Meaning, is there anything you would like to do item-wise to sabotage? It doesn't have to be other players. It could be other of the NPCs that are there. Is there anything you want to do this round for that?
I think Talon has distracted Hoots long enough. He's really accomplished his goal unbeknownst to Hoots. And so he is going to be like, and look over there, what's that? And then start just like rowing himself forward. But the second it goes to, like, you know, on the ice, he's like, I'm going to say he's got like a little wooden spoon that he's using as an oar that he's using to travel across the ice. But the second he gets to the melted portion, he's actually just going to pick up his single skate and just like fly.
Okay.
Just over the thing, over the ice.
Okay. Yep. You start flying with the skate below you.
Yeah. I was like, I'm technically still participating.
Seeing that the rules for skating have been officially breached by multiple members of this competition, Hazelnut sees Talon McCaw start to, you know, kind of like essentially just fly away with the skate. And
eat my spray, suckers!
He kind of scratches his berry chin, and being a very large bear, he is able to kind of, I'm imagining, put two of his skates on either side of the melted ice path.
Absolutely.
And he just kind of, he takes a second. All right. Where did I put that? And he starts reaching around inside of his overalls, his arms fully inside of them, just rummaging around. You hear the clonks and clanks and the that go along with all cartoonish searches. And he pulls out a seltzer bottle, which is an item he has in his possession. And he sticks it between his legs and under the water and releases the button to propel himself cartoonishly forward with a bunch of spray and fizz coming up behind him.
All right, give me some kind of zip roll for that.
Damn it. I have no zip skills, but at least he's moving forward. I met it, so that succeeds.
That succeeds, hey. Wow. All right, so against all odds, Hazelnut, you plunge this seltzer bottle into the melted portion of the skate rink, and at first, nothing really happens. And then all of a sudden, you're just off. And before you know it, you are not only caught up to the pack of people, you are directly behind the abominable snow person with the rocket skates.
Hell yeah.
I love the idea that like Talon's just flying with the carrying the single skate and then Hazel just rushes past him.
Captain is like, ooh, a body of water. Perfect. And one of the things that Captain has is a ship of cartoonish size, but I feel it fits perfectly in this now watery track.
Indeed it does.
On the ring.
To be clear, this is an item, both of our items we picked out prior to, in character creation.
Yes.
So it's not just like, I have a boat, actually. Yeah. It's truly, no, this was decided upon.
Yeah, and well, the important thing is you do not have to use your gizmo use for this. You actually have...
I actually have a ship.
Yacht. A yacht, yes.
Not my gizmo. And Captain would love to ride upon the ship, perhaps use their drive vehicle skill.
That seems appropriate.
I can't believe that's an actual skill.
Yeah, for Toon.
I succeed!
Excellent.
And the captain is going. Captain is going for speed, but also is really just here for the vibe, because over the loud cacophony of Toon noises that are happening, you just hear, sailing, take me to where I've always been. And like you just hear that fading as Captain rounds the corner behind the Yeti.
How does Captain look while sailing on the yacht? I mean, is it like a speedboat kind of like?
Like the water does get choppy as they approach Hazel and the seltzer water, creating some epic waves. I don't think that's not a Yacht Rock song. But I really just imagine Captain, up until that point, capybaras don't have long hair, but please imagine Michael McDonald or Kenny Loggins on a yacht with their long mullets like kind of blowing in the breeze. And that is the vibe that Captain has on their ship.
Captain, I think, definitely can have a mullet. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Spoiler, we don't need to go along with traditional mammalian.
A mullet appears as Captain rides the ship.
Hoots Marlowe, as he's catching up to Talon, would actually like to do something. I'm going to throw the book at you. Because I have a book in my inventory. Specifically, so I could say, throw the book at him.
Good. Yep, great. Yep.
So I'm going to throw the book at you.
Great.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. You should have a throw skill.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I'm not very good at it. It's a muscle skill, so we'll see. Already no.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice try, lawman.
David, I'll have you describe what happens when the book misses.
Yeah, I think there's a moment where, like, Hoots is just, like, idly skating by, just, like, having no problems. He passes by Talon, and there's a moment where you see, like, him pull from, like, a feather pocket a large green book that just says, "The Book," on it. He tries to toss it, and Talon, like, manages to dodge it, flies underneath it. The book flies open and tumbles and hits one of the contestants behind us, and they, like, start tumbling behind, like, they just, like, completely get off their game and start tumbling behind me, and you can just hear, "I was framed!"
A couple more things going on. As you see, the toons being toons, one of them towards the middle of the pack reaches into a pocket and just pulls out a handful of marbles and throws them down, and you just see a bunch of toons, like, whoop, 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 and, like, there's a whole big crash, and you see a lot more yellow canaries circling around people's heads than you normally would. It's like, dwee-doo-doo-doo, dwee-doo-doo-doo, as they either slam into each other or slam into the side of the roller rink, and you come around the first curve, and we have Himalaya in the front with the rocket skates, closely followed by Hazelnut with the seltzer sprayer, Talon flying behind them, desperately trying to catch up, holding on to a single skate.
Yep.
Behind Talon, we have Captain, still in the very impressive yet miniature yacht.
Don't forget the flowing capybara.
And the flowing locks. Mullet. Yes, the flowing locks. Standing on the deck, bathed in sunshine, even though you're indoors, it's very odd. And followed behind Captain is Hoots.
The absolute opposite of Capybara, just black and white, drenched in rain, puffing on a cigarette in the back.
If they were bathed in sunlight, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Yeah.
At this point, Hazel's seltzer bottle is starting to run out of literal gas. So therefore, they are starting to kind of slow down, and everyone else is starting to pull away from them. And he is just kind of like, "I wish I had some more food." And I'm hoping at this moment is where, off to the side, he notices that they are setting up the post-race buffet table. And there might be some smell lines wafting over across the rink that he could use his very high see, hear, and smell skill to float aggressively along the ice to get close to the finish line, which is also in the direction of the buffet.
That seems perfectly normal and reasonable.
Excellent.
So these kind of wafting smell lines, including the beckoning hand at the end of it, kind of hits your nose, and go ahead and make that roll.
Big miss. one of my dice went flying, and the one that was remaining is still way too high. They start doing the sniffing and floating, but end up just going off the course and rink entirely. And it's too late before they realize it. And they open their eyes and look down and realize that they're floating over not ice, and tumble and crash into a big heap.
So you slam into the ice. You're like, "Ugh.
Oh, bother."
Captain doesn't really know Hazel that well, but that doesn't really feel like the vibe. So,
what the captain does know is the vibe.
Is the vibe.
If nothing else.
So, another one of my items is lunch.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, the captain from the galley of their ship pulls out lunch, which is not too particular, not too precise. It's just a Cheeseburger in paradise.
Paradise?
And the captain is actually hoping to bring Hazel back into the race with the smell lines of this cheeseburger that will get Hazel back in this. Because Captain really thinks Hazel could win this.
Hazel, you, after falling down, I'm going to have you make that see, hear, smell roll again. But you do catch a whiff of heaven on earth with an onion slice.
Why did you make the best character? Why did you make the best character?
Alas, no.
No!
No! Can I give him
like a home action?
Yeah, is it like a reroll?
No, what happens is he starts smelling this heavenly cheeseburger and is started to be brought into the race, and she, you know, is kind of floating over the side and is picking up steam, but then the scent trail from the buffet reaches back over and they do a like rock paper scissors and like do an arm wrestle and thumb war over his nostrils, and they eventually are pulled back across the rink, now nose very sore and red, but at least closer to the buffet.
The captain has tried to fix this vibe. Captain thinks cheating is not the vibe. So now the captain is going to try to win this race themselves by doing what they do best and swimming. And at the last, when the watery tracks of the Yeti are no longer there, is going to try to build up so much speed with their swim that they just, like, penguin shoot out and just, like, sneak ahead for the photo finish.
Gotcha.
Talon has realized, like, okay, I'm not going to win on my own power. That's fair. That was never the plan. This is all a clever ruse.
Well, this is why you assemble a team.
Correct. And one member of the team, perhaps an unwilling partner, is going to be the Abominable Snowman. Talon has gotten to the point where he is caught up to everyone, and he's going to try and hide himself. He's going to nestle himself into the snowman's fur. And so at the last second, before she crosses the finish line, Talon's going to poke his little beak out and finish before she does, just 2 centimeters from victory.
Cheat to win.
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to be rolling...
Hide.
Okay.
I succeeded on my hide roll.
Okay.
With a 4 out of 9. So if Himalaya wins, Talon actually wins.
Okay.
I feel like the end of this race has gotten a little chaotic. Like, people are throwing banana peels all over the place. They got bears flying around in the air. I think Hoots Marlowe's going to stay low to the ground. He's going to stay out of sight. And he's going to try and hide himself in a way that makes it so, like, he's not a target for any of the stuff that's happening close to the finish line. I'm going to use Sneak at the end of this race. Unfortunately, Hoots Marlowe, in trying to stay low to the ground and sneak his way through, fails his sneak roll. And as he kind of like comes tumbling down towards the finish line, he just lets out one last puff of smoke and just goes, "Money isn't dirty, just people."
What cartoon is he from?
He's from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, for sure.
I've seen that film before.
Film noir land, yeah. Captain, you drop anchor on the boat and you dive off into the water and you just start swimming. You are directly behind Himalaya, and unfortunately that is also where you finish, is directly behind Himalaya.
What if Captain is this entire time singing, "My life, my lover, my lady is the sea."
It's not the sea though.
Does that make her faster at all?
So I will have Himalaya roll here to try to not stop.
And
not
I could
stop.
Use my skill of cover tracks.
Oh. Yeah. You know what? Give me a quick cover tracks skill.
Oh, I fail hard.
Oh, no. This is a terrible cover of that. Yeah, right.
I'm going to roll for Himalaya to see if she gets caught up in the yacht rock.
Okay.
And maybe slows down enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's an 8. That is a failure. So she starts, she like spins
listens
around
to my siren song
and starts
no,
singing with you. You hear no from the fur of Himalaya as she spins around.
And Talon's like beating on, go faster, this dumb snowman.
Talon, your beak shoots out of what you were hoping would be like the photo finish, yeah. But unfortunately Himalaya has turned around.
Yeah.
And so you are now behind Himalaya.
Yeah.
However, our captain, because you're ahead of Himalaya, you leap out of the water and onto your belly, and you just do the Superman pose as you slide across the finish line as the winner.
Hey!
Nice.
And on that note, we will pick up next time.
with victory.
Yeah. With the mystery at Baldur's Gate, and maybe we'll hit the mystery part next time.
Definitely hit the skate part.
Yeah, we got that part.
All right, bye everyone.
See you next time.
Bye.